1 of the Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org, or you can just go to the main site at www.remnantofgod.org and click the Contact Us link on the main page, top right corner of the site. If you like copies of today's program, click the Antique Radios on the main page of the website and surf to the archives from that page, or you can simply go to the audio section of the main menu, click the archives link directly from there. You can listen online to past programs, download MP3s, or whatever. All right, let's get back to what we were doing right before the show, or right before the break, rather. Sorry. The Vatican, in the first article that I share, is looking for ways to pull the onus off of them by saying the Bible is wrong. It's not 666. Their documents that are found many years after the Bible was written says 616. Okay. And then I went I got into the article about the real ID card and how it's on the near horizon, or if they vote on it, it will be on the near horizon within the next 3 years. And the next part of the article that I'm sharing now has to do with the question the author asks is, what's going to be stored on this ID card? And the author goes on to say, at a minimum, name, birth date, sex, ID number, a digital photograph, address, and a common machine-readable technology that Homeland Security will decide on. The card must also sport a physical security feature designed to prevent tampering, counterfeiting, or duplication of the document for fraudulent purposes. Homeland Security is permitted to add additional requirements, such as fingerprint or retinal scans on top of these. We won't know for a while what these additional requirements will be. Let's stop there for a minute. And I mean, how convenient. Can you imagine? I mean, we won't know until the last minute, when no one has a snowball's chance in a furnace to lobby against such suggestions as fingerprinting or retinal scanning or even DNA. I'm sure that will make some a little bit upset if the Lord tarries in his coming much longer, in regarding to how, you know, like if the DNA thing is used. And did you notice, they stated that at minimum, this is what the cards will have within them. Can you guess what else? How about names of relatives to make it easier to pressure them if you're not, you know, like if you're out on the run? Or names of your employers, teachers, coworkers, friends, whatever. I mean, seriously, with today's technology, you can get the entire Encyclopedia Britannica, with pictures, mind you, intact, into a memory chip half the size of a postage stamp and just as thin. As I mentioned in the beginning, how was this ID card allowed to snake its way through the process without so much as a peep from the American people? Well, the author, too, asks that question in this article. The question is, why did these ID requirements get attached to an emergency military spending bill? Because it's difficult for politicians to vote against money that will go to the troops in Iraq and tsunami relief. The funds cover ammunition, weapons, tracked combat vehicles, aircraft, troop housing, death benefits, and so on. That's right, people. Some of the politicians don't want the ID card. Hard to believe, though, as it may be, but some of them don't. But the president knows they don't have a problem spending money on the troops or even tsunami victims. So he hijacks the bill with the ID card, and voila, he's got himself a brand new toy. Why do we, the American people, allow this? Isn't this illegal? I mean, I'm not a politician. I don't know about political science and how they pass laws, but this seems illegal. Why doesn't anybody get off their couches to complain? Well, could it be the dumbing down of America syndrome? Could it be the MSGs and the other mind-altering preservatives in your food? Or how about the meat industry pumping all the animals with every chemical known to man that directly affects the brains of humans? Is it any wonder people have become so complacent? Is it any wonder people are sitting on their couches waiting for the other guy to do something about all this? So, I don't, you know, it's not, nothing's going to happen. It's just going to go forth. They're going to let it happen. It's the same thing that went on with this so-called Patriot Act. Nobody read it, and it was signed. All right, continuing, the article goes on to say, they said the ID card will be electronically readable. What does that mean? Well, the Real ID card, or the Real ID Act, says federally accepted ID cards must be machine readable, and lets Homeland Security determine the details that could end up being a magnetic strip, enhanced barcode, or radio frequency identification, you know, those RFID chips, or even the Verri chip. In the past, Homeland Security has indicated it likes the concept of RFID chips. The State Department is already going to be embedding RFID devices in passports, and Homeland Security wants to issue RFID-outfitted IDs to foreign visitors who enter the country at the Mexican and Canadian borders. The agency plans to start a year-long test of technology in July at checkpoints in Arizona, New York, and Washington State. Think of it. They're already going to start testing, and they're going to start pulling people over. But still, think of this. Your new ID card will be interconnected across the nation, and then that nation is globally interconnected as well, making travel impossible, as well as purchasing plane tickets, fuel, food, or any other item once they flick the switch. There is no way on this earth they will be able to remove the ability to buy and sell on a global basis without this card. This card must be put in place. The driver's licenses of today can't give the power to the corrupt officials like this national ID card can. One swipe of your car on day one when you get it, you're in the system. Then as soon as they decide you're refusing to go along with the Roman Catholic mandate of Sunday laws, one quick push of a computer keypad and instantly, across the globe, your card is blackballed with instructions on alerting the officials the moment you try to use it. If you don't think so, send somebody an email and see how fast it gets to them on the other side of the planet. And don't think you'll be able to use cash anymore either. That will be outlawed so as to stop the counterfeiters, or so they say. Now, every gas station, convenient food mart, emergency room, or department store will know you are blackballed once you try to use that card. At that time, your location is electronically displayed on every local cop, you know, his display monitor in his squad car. And within minutes, they'll be on you like white on rice. So, where will you get your food? Where are you going to get your water? Well, Isaiah 33 again does in fact say, "He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be in the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure." Our God is who they fight against when these laws are passed. It is his law they mock. Our God will fight for us, as he always has done. We have his word on that. So not to worry. I mean, Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." So, continue on with the article. Is this legislation a done deal? Pretty much. The House of Representatives approved the package on Thursday by a vote of 368 to 58. Only three of the nay votes were from Republicans, the rest were Democrats. The Senate is scheduled to vote on it next week and is expected to approve it as well. You know, come on, even if they don't approve it, which I think they're going to anyway, the prophecy, sure. Still, will a fulfillment as blunt as this wake some up? Yes, it will. But many will stay ignorant of this as well, too, which is sad. All right, continuing, it says, is this a national ID card? Well, it depends on whom you ask. Barry Steinhardt, director of the American Civil Liberties Union Technology and Liberty Program, says it's going to result in everyone from 7-Eleven store to the bank and airlines demanding to see the ID card. They're going to scan it in. They're going to have all the data on it from the front of the card. It's going to be not just a national ID card, but a national database. And I can also see them having all your credit cards put in this card as well, where, in other words, this is the only card you're going to need. Oh, it's going to become so convenient, people. Think about it. Every one of your department store credit cards and every single one of your visas or whatever you use will all be allowed to be attached to that card. And, oh, it's going to be so convenient. So now when you try to buy something, that's when you find out you're blackballed. Continuing with the article, it says, at the moment, states' driver's licenses aren't easy for bars, banks, airlines, and so on to swipe through card readers because they're not uniform. Some may have barcodes but no magnetic strips, for instance, and some may lack both. Steinhardt predicts the federalized IDs will be a goldmine for government agencies and marketeers. Also, he notes that the Supreme Court ruled last year that police can demand to see ID from law-abiding citizens. Kind of reminds me of those old movies where you have the communist officials asking for your papers, please. Doesn't it? No matter what you're doing, walking down the street or committing a crime for that matter, they can now ask you to prove you are an American citizen. Well, the article goes on to say, when does this take effect? Well, it says, the Real ID takes effect 3 years after the date of enactment of the legislation. So if the Senate and Bush give the thumbs up this month, its effective date would be sometime in May of 2008. Now, that article I just read to you was dated May 6th. This next one is just 5 days later. Well, actually, it was it happened 4 days later, but they reported it the day after it was it happened. Headline reads, Senate passes Real ID, National ID Card, on its way. May 11, 2005, U.S. Newswire reporting. The Senate has passed the Real ID bill, creating a backdoor National ID card. After weeks of activism directed towards them, senators knew the full scale of this horror, but voted for it 100-0 anyway. Washington, May 10th, U.S. Newswire again reporting. It says House Judiciary Committee Chairman F. James Sensenbrenner, Jr., a Republican from Wisconsin, the author of the Real ID Act, which is Bill H.R. 418, issued the following statement following today's Senate passage of the Supplemental Appropriations Conference report that included the Real ID Act. The Real ID is vital to preventing foreign terrorists from hiding in plain sight while conducting their operations and planning attacks. By targeting terrorist travel, the Real ID will assist in our war on terror efforts to disrupt terrorist operations and help secure our borders. I'm grateful for the White House's strong support of this border security legislation. In addition, Senators Frist, McConnell, Santorum, Specter, Kyle, Sessions, Brownback, DeWine, and Corin were among those who were helpful, very helpful, in shepherding this legislation through the Senate, and I wish to thank them. You know, the truth is the Real ID does nothing to protect the borders and everything towards creating a national ID card. It's all it's really designed to do. This, you know, I mean, they're the ones removing the, you know, our secure borders. Our own government's doing that, and it's, you know, now they're making it look like we need a national ID card to take care of that. You know, it appears it won't be long after this that we see some real constitutional shredding in Washington, D.C. Okay? Now, this next article, a little bit of an upsetting article. I mean, it has a tendency to put the nail in the coffin, something that I was reporting on once before, many times before. Well, let's just get right into it. The headline reads, Global Tax, Almost a Reality. Newswithviews.com, May 3rd, 2005. At the spring meeting of the IMF World Bank in Washington, D.C., it was announced that a number of countries will be used to test a $1 tax on airline tickets. This global tax idea has been around for the last 20 years and is now back as a tax that would be relatively easy to put in place. Furthermore, an international financing facility for immunization will also be set up on a test basis. How could we be this far? Okay, let's stop here for a minute. For those of you that get my monthly newsletters, how many times has this topic come up over the last few years alone? Are we surprised? No, we aren't, because we have been warning people about this for quite some time. When did I see its first red flag? Well, do you recall now, or how at the first WTO meeting in New York, how Clinton kind of let the cat out of the bag regarding that and stated that twice, as a matter of fact, that Jerusalem was to become the capital of the world? You know, for years, this ministry has been alerting people to this inevitable movement. Am I a prophet? No, I am not a prophet. Then how do I know this way beforehand? Well, the same reason everybody that, believes prophecy or studies it as we do, understand it. We're not prophets. It's because it's in your Bibles. It's that easy. It's truly that easy to see. If you merely open a Bible and let the Bible define its prophetic symbols, you'll be able to find this. For example, do some research on prophecy using a Bible. Then read Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, where it says, "And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." This planting of his tabernacles is most assuredly a short-lived event. If you want an idea of how short it will last, I suggest you investigate all that Revelation 17:12 has to offer when you get time. That's Revelation 17:12. Now, do you recall as to what this ministry believes is the reason so many want that land in Jerusalem? I mean, sure, the devil wants it for obvious reasons, so as to mock the Lord in the very land he walked. I mean, the devil mocks the Lord in every way he can. But how does he get man to do his bidding? Well, the easiest way is money. And when Jerusalem becomes the capital of the world, as the Vatican has so longed for, as far back as the Crusades, common sense tells us that a global tax will run through that nation once it becomes that capital. Is the picture clearing up now? Think about it. This is why there's so much unrest in this area. They know. The leaders know. That's why they're generating the wars. I mean, the guys fighting these wars in the Middle East and stuff all around Jerusalem, why everybody hates them, most of the people don't know why they're fighting. You know, they just go by with whatever their leaders tell them. Fact is, people, whoever owns or controls that land will literally become king of the world. Imagine how much money is going to funnel into that land when over 6 billion people send taxes to it on an annual basis. Oh my, it just literally boggles the mind. Yeah, I don't think I can calculate such a sum accurately. Even on an annual basis, I can't come up with a number that big. The article continues with the author proclaiming that for the last 10 years I have followed the topics of global taxation. My journey began in September of 1994 when I discovered the United Nations was going to float the idea of a global tax at the Social Summit to be held in March of 1995 in Copenhagen. In 1994, the United States Development Program, which is UNDP, called for a new world social charter, where the world will redistribute wealth as it cannot survive one quarter rich and three quarters poor, and where the United Nations must become the principal custodian of global human security and help with basic education, healthcare, immunization, and family planning. To meet these goals, they put forth the concept of global taxation. Their suggestions included a tax on the sale of arms weapons, creating a global demilitarization fund with the savings countries would experience if they reduced military spending by 3% over a 10-year period. 3%? You got to be kidding me. That's that much, huh? Anyway, continuing, it says, a global tax of $1 per barrel on oil consumption, a tax on speculative international currency transactions that have been dubbed the Tobin tax, and a world income tax of 0.1% on the richest nations with a per capita, a gross national product of $10,000 or more, to help reduce the debt of the poorest countries of the world. A number of debt restructuring recommendations were made, including debt cancellation. Gee, isn't that convenient? Especially with the United States with over $1 trillion in debt. I don't know if it's 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 trillion. I don't know. It's just a huge number. But debt cancellation would help. They will make this look attractive. Think about it. If you only have to pay 0.1% income tax, it's a lot better than you're paying now, right? They'll do everything they can to make this look attractive. I mean, the global tax test is most assuredly a harbinger of what's to come. They aren't testing it just to see if they can make it work. They are telling us they're testing it so as to soften the blow as to why you're being taxed for airline tickets. And when the taxing goes off without a hitch, you will then see the oil tax, the weapons tax, and then, yes, finally an income tax, so as to ensure the powers that be get mind-bogglingly rich by robbing the poor. And if anybody in their right mind thinks they will actually funnel the income taxes to help the poorer nations, please, please, I beg of you, do you see them doing that now? What do I mean? Well, for example, in the United States of America, they came up with the wonderful idea of using the lottery to raise millions upon millions of, for the school systems. All that money was supposed to help the financially failing schools, especially in the inner cities. Literally millions per week, mind you, are coming into this lottery. Yet still, the schools are closing, the teachers are going on strike for lack of pay, and the kids are not being taught sufficiently because the schools literally lie about the grade point averages to get the mere pittance the government hands out to keep them barely alive each year if their grade point average is up to a certain degree. So who in their right mind thinks they're going to use one thin dime to help the poor nations? Because of the intense content of this broadcast, I had to clip some articles for the sake of time. I was planning on reporting on how the U.S. government had 33 states sterilizing the poor people in this country without their knowledge so as to stop the less desirables, as they put it, from populating. This was going on since the early 1900s to the mid-1970s. I may share that article with you all next week. I mean, just recently, North Carolina decided to apologize and make it public. So do you think the global tax will help the poor? Sure, in one of two ways. They will eventually be phased out into death camps, so money's going to be needed for that. If they're too feeble to be used in slave labor, they're going to have to put them in the death camps. Okay, and the money that was earmarked for them will, of course, end up in the silk-lined pockets of the very ones that lied in the first place about the global taxes. You know, one thing's for sure with big government. They always lie to benefit themselves. That is something you can literally count on. Fact is, if they are so concerned for the poor, then why did they invent tactics long before Hitler ever used them regarding genocidal, you know, whatever, like with this sterilizing situation that's going on, that was going on in the United States from 1929 to 1974? And why did they continue on using these genocidal tactics long after Hitler was gone? You know, prophecy is sure. What they're planning is one of the most evil events in history. It'll be the end of history, actually. It's called the enforcement of the mark of the beast. Are you ready? Are you sure? I mean, seriously, are you really ready? Is your house ready? Are you in your Bible every single day? Because if you're not, you're going to miss all of this. This is one of the reasons you have that prophecy from the book of Amos at chapter 8, around verses 10 or 11, where it talks about how there's going to be a famine in the land in the last days. And not a famine of food or water. It's going to be a famine of reading the words of God. I mean, think about that. Think about the simplicity of that statement. And then look around in today's world. Do you think if people were reading their Bibles in Europe, for example, do you think that they would have a problem with those posters and billboards and those images that they have on their own money where you see a woman riding on a beast? You know, where the government is, you know, or the big posters that they have of the Tower of Babel being rebuilt with modern technology. Well, yeah, if the people were reading their Bibles, they would have a problem with that. One of the reasons for doctoring Bibles is not only to preach demonic error or traditions of men, as the Scriptures calls it. It's also to get people to look at the Scriptures as a waste of time, as not really worthy of their time. Because think about it, once they doctored the Bibles, it became these NIVs and the NASBs became less accurate and more contradictory toward itself. I mean, if you open up a King James, you're not going to find the problems that you have in these other Bibles, with the exception of perhaps punctuation, because punctuation was added after the King James was written. But the fact of the matter remains, you look around in today's world and you see all sorts of people that claim Christ as Lord that have no problem with these prophetic events happening right there in their right before their eyes. They have no problems with posters. They have no problems with some of the strange sermons that their pastors are preaching from the pulpits. They open up their Bibles and they try to investigate the seven-year trib theory and they can't find it. But they go along with it anyway because, well, you know, he's a pastor. He's gone to school for 20 years or whatever, or 4 years. But that's a sad state of affairs, folks. It's a sad state of affairs. It was prophesied to happen and it's happening in your lifetime. So are you ready? There's nothing you can do to stop it. I'm not saying go out there and start a big old revolt and protest against the government because it's a waste of time. Prophecy is sure. It's going to happen. So anyway, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed this broadcast. Please try to catch us again next week. And for those of you that can't, you can go to www.remnantofgod.org and click on the Antique Radios on the main page. That'll bring you to the archives of this program. You can listen online, download MP3s, or order CDs of this program and or other programs and give them to your friends. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries saying until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.